I'm Alex Rifkin. My new book is called The Anti-Israel Agenda, Inside the Political War and the Jewish State. And I'm also the Director of Public Affairs at the Executive Council of Australian Jewry.
What is your background?
I was born in the Soviet Union in Kiev to Russian Jewish parents. We left in the 1980s as refuseniks and refugees, and we settled in Australia in 1988. I had no formal Jewish education. I studied law and politics at the University of New South Wales, and I practiced law for about 6 years, both here in Sydney and then in London. And then I left the law to pursue a career in Jewish political advocacy. I wrote for a think tank in Jerusalem, and since 2013, I've been the Director of Public Affairs for the Executive Council of Australian Jewry.
What do you do in your capacity?
The role is one of predominantly political advocacy. One might call it lobbying, but that's an often maligned term. But we advocate on all matters of concern to the Jewish community, whether it be fighting anti-Semitism, fighting for greater government support for security funding, defending Israel in the public arena. Anything that we see of great concern to the Jewish community, we address on a national and international level.
Can you tell us about your book?
So the book examines the latest phase in the war on Israel, which seeks to do through political means what war and terror could not, which is to isolate and cripple the state until it can no longer defend its interests or its people. And this book really, for the first time, explores the full depth and breadth of this latest phase of this political war. It's a collaborative work, and it brings together some of the finest minds devoted to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, people like Alan Dershowitz and Hillel Neuer, Colonel Richard Kemp, Professor Alan Johnson, and together we explore what is happening in every sector of civil society, every level of government, how these institutions are being gradually appropriated and turned for what is a very destructive and illegitimate purpose.
So the name of the book is The Anti-Israel Agenda, Inside the Political War on the Jewish State. When we talk about the anti-Israel agenda, do you see the anti-Israel agenda as the new form of anti-Semitism?
I do. And I think it's important to distinguish between what we might call legitimate criticism of Israel, criticism of government policy or the government of the day, or statements that come from various political actors within Israeli society. That is perfectly legitimate, and no one would have any issue with that. But what my book looks at is something far more sinister and far more deep-seated, and that is what has been happening basically since Israel's creation and before, which is a denial of Israel's right to exist, a denial of the Jewish right to national self-determination. And that has expressed itself in various ways throughout Israel's history, predominantly through conventional warfare, invasion, which we saw in 1948, 67 and 73, then in waves of terrorism through the intifadas and bold international attacks like Entebbe and the Munich Olympics, and mainly since the Yom Kippur War, which really confirmed that Israel's existence was permanent and that it could not be defeated by military force, we've seen this new frontier opened of political warfare. So we're dealing with something far greater than mere criticism, which is legitimate. We're dealing with a strong desire, a campaign to upend the state. And that certainly, to me, is to be considered anti-Semitic.
How can we tell if the criticism is a genuine criticism? I mean, some people criticize Israel actions here and there, some actions or all actions, and people accuse those people that criticize Israel to be anti-Semite. How can you distinguish between real criticism, genuine criticism? Because even citizens of Israel criticize the government, criticize Netanyahu, the prime minister.
Yeah, of course.
So how can you tell that this is not an attack on Israel, blunt attack or genuine attack?
To be honest, I think it's a very easy distinction to draw. When it's a matter of policy, when it's criticizing, for example, the settlements or Israel's acts of deterrence against militants in Gaza, it's very clear that it relates to matters of policy. But when it goes to the heart of Israel's existence, when it denies that the Jewish people are indigenous to the land, when it denies that the Jewish people have national rights and rights of national self-determination, that is something else. And I think it's not a very difficult thing to spot the difference. So, for example, I'm deeply critical of the Iranian regime. I can comfortably say that I loathe that regime. I loathe them for their treatment of gays and lesbians. I loathe them for their treatment of the Baha'i, for their Holocaust denial. But in no way does that translate to an animosity or desire to boycott individual businesses or the Iranian people. It's a very easy distinction to draw. And when people criticise policies of Prime Minister Netanyahu, they're entirely within their rights. But when they talk about the basic existence of the state and the rights of the Jewish people, that is something that goes beyond mere criticism. And it's something that should concern people of both the left and the right, because it goes to basic human rights.
What do you think about the average Australian? Do the Australians, if you talk to the people in the street, do they understand the conflict in the Middle East? What is their attitude towards Israel?
I think for the most part, you know, people without a personal stake in the conflict would be quite ambivalent. And polling has shown that there is no clear position in Australian society with regards to the conflict, that loyalties don't lie with one side or the other. I think for the most part, Australians are a tolerant people, they're a knowledgeable and understandable people, and they would certainly support the rights of national self-determination of the Jewish people, which means the existence of the State of Israel. And they would abhor Palestinian terrorism and violence. But the trouble with the anti-Israel movement is that it tends to canvas its language and its claims in euphemisms. It will talk about international law, it will talk about social justice and human rights, which is very seductive, it's very appealing. But really what they're demanding and what they're calling for is something very extreme, something unjust, and something which flies in the face of human rights and social justice. So I would hope that the majority of Australians can see past the rhetoric and see past the smoke screens and actually look at what is being demanded.
I want to also to touch on the connection of the Australian Jews to the State of Israel. I think it's quite unique.
Certainly our community is a model, I believe, of cohesion. We're a staunchly Zionist community, and this is something which I really feel when I travel abroad for conferences with my colleagues from different communities, and they all look at the Australian Jewish community with a great degree of envy. They wish that they had our unity. They wish that they had our sense of commitment and devotion to the State of Israel. So it's something that we should certainly be proud of. But we also can't take it for granted. The relationship between Israel and the diaspora is absolutely critical to combating the anti-Israel agenda, to fighting this political war on Israel. And the anti-Israel movement knows this and knows this well, which is why it targets the Jewish youth, which is why it frequently exaggerates the number of Jews that support their extreme agenda, and they generally try and sow discord in the Jewish world. So it is vital that the relationship between Israel and the diaspora doesn't fray. And I believe that our community here in Australia is a model of that.
Alex Rifkin, good luck with your book, The Anti-Israel Agenda, Inside the Political War on the Jewish State. Thank you very much.